took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Good evening. This is Pastor David.
And this is Pastor Barry.
And this is Glorious Day, a program that we believe the Lord is using to inspire and encourage. And particularly our hearts as pastors are to encourage the people of God to follow the basic spiritual, you know, the essential means whereby people grow in their faith. And so we're hoping, at least in the beginning, these few programs to do that. And to also encourage those who do not yet believe to hear the Word of God and to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to turn your hearts over to Jesus, because at the end of the day, He is the only way to for salvation. And we want you to be saved. We don't know you, but we want to see you in the kingdom.
You are our future best friends in the kingdom of heaven.
Absolutely.
And we preach this gospel with a sense of urgency and hopefully enthusiasm.
Yeah, both. Well, you know, I mean, if you have a sense of urgency, it really gives an edge to enthusiasm, don't you think?
Amen,
brother.
Amen.
Anyway, we have some scripture for you, and I will just tell you up front that tonight we're going to focus on God's Word, the Word of God, and particularly that which we call the Bible. Barry, you've got some scripture to share, and then I'm going to come behind you with some scripture to share.
Very good, sir. In this particular scripture of Deuteronomy, Moses commands obedience to God concerning his word. This is Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live, and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you.
And that's in the first part of the Bible in the Old Testament. Sort of as you just start getting into reading those texts, I can't talk too well. My tongue isn't working like it should. But anyway, the texts that you find there. But then at the end of the very last few verses of the last book of the Bible, which is in the New Testament, of course, the Revelation to John, we find these words. And this is Revelation chapter 22, verse starting with verse 18, ending with verse 21. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies these things says, yes, I am coming soon. And of course, that he is Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Now, we bring up these two readings from Scripture because what you find in common, and God has inspired the writers. Now, the one I just read is the last living apostle, John, who was in his 90s when he wrote this, when he received that vision. And Barry read from what Moses wrote that God gave him in the book of Deuteronomy. But the connector is, and what did we said this in our first broadcast, Mary? Mm-hmm. Do not edit this book. And we'll touch on, you know, why we're not supposed to do that. But as you probably understand as we go along, why that's important.
That's right.
But it was important enough for God to give two separate individuals in very different time frames the same truth. It's because the word of God to God is important, and we must honor God's desire for his word.
God does not mince words in either one of these scriptural readings.
No, no. And in fact,
I mean, this is flat out him telling us this is a command, not a suggestion, because he knows mankind is flawed, and he knows that, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to preach next Sunday. If I could just change that second verse just a little bit, maybe they'll get it even clearer.
Yes.
And that your intentions may be good, but you're also, you're disobeying God. And he knew that before he ever even wrote this. He knew that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That we cannot write our own scripture. That we, like I said before, there's no holy whiteout. It just doesn't exist. Because a compromised scripture is a corrupted scripture. It just doesn't work.
It doesn't. And in fact, it leads people astray. And this is why the Lord was so made it so important for us to understand that we should not edit. Now, just because, and of course, you know, I don't want to do that. And I found, I will admit to you that in my the course of my career as an ordained minister, I have on occasion, unintentionally, done that and recognized later. Because some people come up to me and say, I didn't read that in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'd go back and I'd say, well, gosh, it isn't there. You know?
Well, David, what you're experiencing is the Holy Spirit grabbing someone and making them into a Christian heckler.
Oh, and
for a good cause.
You know, if you're a pastor listening to this, yeah, some of those hecklers you probably aren't too comfortable with, but the folks that are really care, have a zeal for the Word of God.
And reverence. For
and
the
reverence. They're going to come to you. Listen to them.
Right.
You might have made a mistake. You know, I don't know where you went to seminary if you're a pastor, but the seminary I went to, they made it clear that you are not to expose yourself as being fully human to your congregation. Man, I mean, I never believed it then. I certainly don't believe it now. But there's just no good advice packed into that. Because those people that believe that, some of them are the ones that, you know, will play with the Word of God and just to see how far they can go, you know, to bend the meaning for their issue. We call it proof texting, you know. And say, I've got, let's just say, hypothetically, as a pastor, it doesn't have to be a pastor, it can be anybody who has some Christian maturity, but, you know, maybe has stepped off the path of righteousness when it comes to the Word of God, and they have an issue that they really believe is important, and they can't find where God has acknowledged the importance of that issue, or they have a decision that they've made which they want God to bless, and so they'll go into the Word and they'll look for verses that they can cobble together, you know, like with the twist ties of the lies of, you know, because that's what it is. If you're doing that, you're really lying through this proof texting, and then they present it as, oh my gosh, what a great revelation that God has given me, and this because this is what I want to do, and you know, and then folks, if that ever happens, if you happen to be in the presence of someone doing that, you are about to witness an incredibly horrible disaster in their lives and the lives of anybody that are listening and following them. So, again, we wanted to do more than impress you with the importance of not editing. But how do you not do that, Barry?
The way you avoid that is to be in the Word as often as possible and more. And also to check in with the Holy Spirit before you step up to preach this gospel or to step into a group of people that you believe maybe are not believers and they need some education, that you need to check in with the Word, because whatever you're thinking of saying or whatever new program popped up in your brain, it needs to align itself with the Word of God. And Amen. David and I were talking about this earlier, that there's an evil one out there. We all know his name. His name is Satan. And he would love for you to twist some words around and make this word more of this world than a spiritual world, to fill up pews, to to fill up churches, maybe delete some of these stringent commands coming from God, because they just make God sound so serious. It's scary, and they might scare people off. Because the lies of Satan are so subtle, if you're not in the Word, you could actually believe them, because he's really good at lying. He invented it.
He did, and he's been developing it ever since.
Oh, yeah. So if you don't know the truth, and if you're not preaching the truth, you're doing disfavor to yourself and everyone else around you.
And it gets even more dangerous than that, because those of you who are listening today, stop and just reflect for a moment on all the issues that we're dealing with in our country today. And, you know, we're not trying to beat this point down, but it seems like every time we get to this point, you know, we have people that are kind of clueless about why it's wrong to kill babies in the womb,
mm-hmm.
Why it's wrong to come to support the fact there may be 42 genders, or there's probably even more now. I mean, they keep coming up with new stuff, when in fact, I mean, you might laugh and say, well, what has that got to do with anything? And I'll tell you that, first of all, what did God say about himself? What did God say about his intentions for all of creation, not just the little slice that you're living in? What has God said about that? And then keeping in mind that God never contradicts himself. He never changes. So that what he believed, what he knew about creation before he made it, he has still consistently not changed anything about his plans. So, folks, when you're struggling with issues, a culture that is totally in chaos, why is it in chaos? Because it is this whole issue of relativism. You know what that is? It means that, well, my truth is relative to me. You may have a different truth.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that a lot. But there's no absolute truth that people say. Well, but that's a lie, because, first of all, God is absolute truth. He is perfect truth. He is absolute, you know, that, and his word contains his revelation of himself in so many layers of truth. But one is that he is perfect truth. So his word is given to us for that purpose, to guide us. Because frankly, listen to this, folks. I love to hear from the mind of God, but I don't have an equal mind, and neither do you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We are all imperfect, broken creatures who need the living God and everything that he has brought forth into creation for our salvation, for our growth in faith, for our deeper and ever deepening discoveries about who God is and what he has for us and who we are in relationship to him. And the Word of God, this wonderful Bible, which has so much power through the Holy Spirit to reveal to us. It's not just literature. It's not just a bunch of disconnected stories.
Mm-mm.
And for sure, it's not an expensive paperweight.
Amen, brother.
It is a living Word of God.
It's living Word. That's why we need not change it. It's just as relevant at this moment in time while David and I are talking to you as it was written down all those years ago. It's a living Word. I had an experience with someone who read the Bible for the first time after they were saved. And in tears, that gentleman came to me in tears, holding his Bible, smacking the Bible, saying, "This book is alive, and it's speaking to my heart."
Oh man!
And page after page, I'm knowing God, and I know he already knows me, but he's just filling me with such love and understanding.
Absolutely.
I want to tell you, people, when you pick up the book that says Bible on it, yes, it's written in paper and ink. We understand that. But you need to say a little prayer before you open that book as well. You need to commune with the Holy Spirit and say, "Holy Spirit, I come to you unlearned. I don't know enough, but I'm asking you to interpret this book for me in my heart. Enlighten me as to these words." You know, the Holy Spirit is listening and watching, and he's there to comfort and guide you and to help you understand this. If you feel uncomfortable doing that, find a mature Christian who is Christ-centered and Bible-based in their faith, and trust them to lead you.
Amen.
You got to start somewhere, my friends. You got to open the book. You got to start and get into the mind of God. You're going to find joy. You're going to find peace, and you'll always find hope.
Always. And, always. You know, frankly, maybe you don't pray enough. And I'm not saying, I'm not judging you because I don't know you, you know. I mean, I'm just looking at Barry here.
He's pointing at me, folks.
I'm pointing at Barry because he's the only other one in the studio. But three fingers are pointing back at me because I realize that I don't pray enough. You think, well, the guy's a pastor. What's wrong with him? But, you know, you just continue, you grow in this. You know, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. So when you, if you find yourself in a question, in an area of questioning, of unknowing, go to God.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have anybody, especially if you're listening to this broadcast, you've not ever gone to church, you never cared about it, you don't care about the Bible, you know, but you're starting to open up to God, you're starting to care, and you're going to reach a point where you really need to be in the church, you know, and the church has been created by Jesus. We call it the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many, many churches out there that are God-honoring, Bible-believing. And our coverage area here, which is from Melbourne in the north to, you know, the North Miami in the south and over to Lake Okeechobee and a few counties north and south of there, there are enough churches out there that are God-honoring. And if you're all alone and you're starting to open up your heart to Jesus, pray. Because listen, He is not ever going to leave you to wonder. You know, up until now, if you haven't asked Him, well, you're wondering all over the place. I did it too.
I didn't go
to God, so man, I'd spend hours thinking and overthinking stuff. But if you'll just actually humble yourself before God.
Amen.
And say, Lord, show me. You know my needs. I don't know what they are. Show me. Because the very first thing that a pastor is going to do for someone that's hungry for God is they're going to make sure they get a Bible. And there are several translations out there. The King James, for many people, is the only one, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That is fine if that's what you believe is the best version for you. But there are others. There's the New International Version. There's the English Standard Version. There's the, there's maybe 10 what I would consider really good translations of the Bible. And there's some paraphrases, too, that you might get to open the door for you. But the point is, get a good Bible and get a good commentary because, frankly, there are some things that God's people have found out over the ages that you may not discover if you don't read it, you know, if you don't read what they've written. So a good commentary will help you get beneath the surface of the text.
And that's important, David.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, in these commentary Bibles, you may get stuck. You will get stuck.
Yes.
And it could be a word, it could be a phrase where it might even be a cultural word where you think, I don't know what that means. So you jump into your commentary and you have your aha moment where you say, oh, that's what they meant. It puts things in context. And that's
Excuse
important
me.
Because, you know, context is important. In fact, some of the newer Christians that I have spoken with, I'll suggest they read the verse before and the verse after whatever they're looking at. Because in doing so, it puts things in perspective. You know, the Bible's not just a bunch of jumbled, disconnected stories. So you need to find out what happened just before or perhaps just what happened after that statement was made. I also want to remind you, too, that you can read the Bible 10 times, and according to your growth and your faith and your understanding of God, you'll understand it 10 different ways.
That's right.
How relevant this book is, because God knows you when you are a baby Christian. He knows you when you're a fully mature Christian. And so He knows what to speak into your heart and what you need to be as far as spiritually fed, what you need to hear.
That's right. And it's critical to come alongside a believer who has a strong Bible
mm-hmm.
base, you know, who's been studying the Word for a long time, because he or she will be able to help you understand some things you're reading. Because I know the first time I read certain parts of the Bible, I'd end up head scratching my head, you know. Sure. Because, and please understand this, every translation has, every translator has had, one of the significant problems is this. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, mm-hmm. and ancient Hebrew to boot, so that the translators had to understand the language. And of course, I trust that they did. However, they're translating it into a totally different language.
Yes, they did.
Now, at this point, detractors will say, well, that's the reason I don't read the Bible, is because there are so many translations and from into different languages, and they all are different. And how can I trust it? Okay, we'll get back to that in a minute. Because of that, there's some words in English that aren't exactly going to be found in that old language, mm-hmm. like Hebrew. In the New Testament, they're written in Koine Greek, which wasn't ancient Greek, but it's not new today Greek.
Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely a language that was written because the church was growing into the Greek world. And so it had to be written in their language. But again, there are Greek, like there are three or four Greek words for love, and they all mean very different things from, you know, I love pizza, which wouldn't be the kind of love you and I think. I like pizza, but I don't love it.
Right, I'm not going to marry a pizza.
I'm not going to marry a pizza. No, I can't even. No, at no point. but the point is that, yes, there are.
Well, you know, that you bring up a good point, because years ago there was a book written by Professor Lamza, the Lamza Bible.
Yeah.
And he's from Eastern Europe, I think from Turkey, and he grew up in a little village where they still speak and write Aramaic.
Oh,
and so yes. When he saw some of the Dead Sea Scrolls and some other items that they had unearthed that had Aramaic writing, he read it like he was reading the New York Times on a Sunday. He directly translated directly from Aramaic to modern English.
And that's another point, is that Aramaic is not Hebrew.
No.
It's a very different language. And so you had, but here's the point I was going to make, is that when people would say, well, how can I trust this then? You know, I say, well, because you have to trust God.
Right. You trust God because this is all God-breathed. He's not going to let his prophets change things.
No.
Because he loves people that haven't even been born yet that need to hear his word.
They do. And we, you know, when you'll stumble over stuff. For instance, in one, I think it's in Matthew, and I wish, again, I wish I was born with a concordance in my head.
I thought you were.
No.
Oh, okay.
But I wished for it, but it never happened. But I do remember that there's one verse that's very confusing where Jesus says, and I'll have to paraphrase, mm-hmm. he's speaking to his disciples, and he says, you're going to have to hate, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to hate your family.
Correct.
You know. Now, most of the translations have that. Some of the paraphrases that have been written in the last few years have changed that, but the Greek, there's a Greek word that the translators ran into,
mm-hmm.
and because they were translating from the Greek into English, the Greek word for hate that they used, and man, it was a poor choice, brother, because the Greek word actually says to love a little bit less than. Now think of it for a minute. Take the word hate and then compare it to the phrase to love a little bit less than.
Mm-hmm.
There's no connection. Jesus wasn't saying to hate people.
No.
No, and this should be an indicator when you're reading the Bible and something pops up and says, that doesn't sound like Jesus. Well, it's because the word the translators picked was, from their view, the best word to explicate the Greek word
mm-hmm.
that they found in the text. And so that's where your commentary helps,
mm-hmm.
and that's where talking to mature Christians helps.
Right.
And there, even if you really get excited about God's word, there are several people who have written wonderful books on various parts of the Bible that give you even more insight.
Right.
But so, you see, we understand the problems. Barry and I have tripped over minefields in our Christian growth in reading the Bible.
Minefields and trapdoors.
And trapdoors, yes. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, we totally understand. But and as we found, that we love to get into these topics, but we run out of time.
That's true.
So I quickly want to say do not be afraid of reading the Bible. It will not bite you if you open it. But you may sink your teeth into it because you get excited over what's in there.
And God will grab your attention. And it's funny because some people get their attention grabbed in rather odd verses and chapters, but that's between you and God. He knows your needs.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's, Barry, would you, we need to pray for our listeners that they'll be able to be God-led in getting into the Word.
Holy Father, you've gifted us with so much, and here we have your mind on paper, available everywhere. It's hard not to find a Bible. But Lord, you've made us made yourself available to each and every one of us, and I pray that people take you up on this, because in this world, this upside down crazy world that can be sometimes frightening, sometimes sad, sometimes hopeless, we have your Word, and your Word tells us that you love us so much you gave us your only Son.
Amen.
And we're all blessed beyond our understanding to have a God like you.
Amen. And listen, remember, folks, if you own a car and something happens and you don't know how to fix it, you find a book. It's called Your Owner's Manual.
Right.
And if that doesn't help, you get a book at the library or go online or whatever that tells you how to fix your car. Mm-hmm. Well, when your life stops working, the Bible is the owner's manual, and God's provided it. And we pray that you will be diligent and get into God's Word.
Amen.
And that's all our time for today. We pray God will bless you and keep you. And for those searching for him, he's right there behind you. Just turn around and ask him to come into your life.
Amen. And God bless you, my brother.
And you too, my brother.
Amen.
Have a good night.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.